Love will cause you to put other people ahead of yourself.
You know that?
My wife has a t-shirt, and it says on the back of it, a picture of a law enforcement officer. It says, "My man will kick down the doors and go in and rescue somebody he never met before. How much more do you think he'll do for me?" It'll be called love.
Okay.
And as Carol was speaking there a moment ago about Jesus, and yes, there's nothing more he can do for us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, get the lights on. I just want to. We kind of talked about this a little bit Friday night, but what we want to do is to fall in love with Jesus. You know, not just be a fan of Jesus, you know. I mean, I can walk in the old days, walk in the downtown tavern, buy a drink, and everybody likes me, you know what I'm saying? They don't love me. Let my money be gone. You see what I'm saying? Okay. And we can find ourselves, we don't want to find ourselves the same way with Jesus, you know. As long as, you know, he's giving me all these blessings and I've got this and that and the other, Jesus is awesome, you know. But the minute there you are in a tough situation, when you start looking around for other answers, when you start looking at other places to have our needs met. And but this isn't part of the message, but it is part of the message. Yeah, but I just want to share this with you in Matthew, and you hear this every time we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But this is Jesus. I mean, this is love. This is love for you and me. You know, nobody else will ever do this for you. But in the book of Matthew, in the 27th chapter, in verse 27, Jesus has been arrested. He's about ready to be crucified for you. This is what he's done for you, Bob Donnelly, Paul, Ned. This is what Jesus did for us. I mean, just sometimes we take the scriptures and put our name in there, makes it so much more personal. But think what the master did. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the planetarium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. So you got lots of guys, several hundred guys around them. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And Jesus allowed them to do that for Charlie. And after weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And Jesus let them for Marty. And they spat on him, and they took the reed and began to beat him on the head for Carol. And after they had mocked him, they took his robe off and put his garments on him and led him away to be crucified for each one of us. Now, I just want to look at that. That just really spoke to me during praise and worship. I mean, what more at this point could Jesus have done? What more could he have done to show you and me how much he loves us? How much more could he have demonstrated that I love you this much? How much more can God show us? Hey, I love you guys. I know you've sinned. You've fallen short of my glory. But I love you. I created you in my image, and I come to rescue you from your sins. What more could he have done to impress upon our minds and in our spirit to love him? Now, Carol's seen the song. I don't know how it goes. You're lucky for that. But if that ain't love, the ocean is dry. Yeah, I mean, that's not, yeah. Oh my, I mean, just think. He did that for us individually, to rescue us, to save us from our sins. No one else in history has ever done that for us. Purposely, let his body be nailed to a cross. Think of that. All this stuff. All this stuff that you've done in your life. And I don't want to hear about it. I ain't going to tell you mine. What's that? No. But all the things we did, he let him do all this stuff to him. Then he looks down at us and says, "Hey, Father, forgive them. But they don't know what they're doing." How many times do people take the name of the Lord thy God's name in vain? How many times? And God doesn't sound like a lightning bolt, does he? No, why? Jesus, Father, forgive them. Now, that's a sin, blasphemy of sin. Amen. But it shows you what's inside of a person when they do that. The Spirit of God's not there yet. Amen? So God doesn't wipe us out because he sent Jesus Christ to rescue us. Think about in the Old Testament, if we lived in the Old Testament under the law, probably would be nobody here. Yeah? Because everything we would have done, we would have put to death for it. Because the wages of sin is death. You know? And sometimes we've got to slow down and start thinking about what Christ really means to us. You know, when he came and rescued us, and we received him as Savior and Lord, he said, "Okay, your old body, the old cardinal body you're living in, okay, it's mine now. I give you my spirit. You're under my blood, my sacrifice. You've been relieved from the agony of your sin. But now, I want your body. I want your body. I'm going to live inside of you." Think of that. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the head of the church. If he's not head of the church, it's not a gathering of the saints. Understand that. A lot of churches out there, but Jesus ain't the head of it. Okay? There's a bunch of church boards there that are not, don't even know Jesus. He's in charge of it. Okay? But man, when the church, from the gathering of the saints, and this is what governs the body, Jesus is the head of the church. And we are his body. So I just want to show something here. I'm going to borrow Ryan here in a second. But just for a moment, I get to be Jesus, okay? Now, I've kind of done this demonstration before. But I'm the Lord. I am the head. I have no body. Jesus has no body here on earth. Ryan, why don't you go and pray for Bob Clark this morning? See, God, Jesus is always interceding for us, amen? He sees our needs, and he works through us. There's no hesitation. Or Ryan walks over and lays hands on him. It's my spirit within him, the Lord says. But those are his hands, his feet, his voice. Sometimes we say, "Well, why isn't God doing something on the earth?" He works through us, amen? Look at that. It's just, oh my. We have to overcome the fear of being obedient to the Lord. Or the fear of messing up. Or the fear of being rejected. You know, Bob could have said, no, get away from me. And Ryan would have came back here and sat down. Amen? Hands and feet is what we are. Amen. Thank you, Ryan. So God leads Ryan on how to pray. But then, I look at, the Lord speaks to my wife. Says here. Well, this is really yours. This is. I should have gave it to you before. I wanted to give that to Ned. Lord says, here, I want you to give this money to Ned. Now, we know Ned doesn't need it. He's a farmer. No. My first thought that Ned could have, man, I don't need that money. I'm with Bonnie. But that money in your hand, and he, well, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't need this. So, does my Father in heaven just want to buy me dinner today? Or, Lord, is another need? So Ned would say, Lord, just show me. Just show me what you want to do with this money. And then as you pray that today, the Lord will. He will lead you with that. He'll show you exactly what you want you to do with that. And folks, it's not a huge amount of money. It's too close to the end of the month, okay? But the thing of it is, what we could have a habit of doing, I'm going to come up from behind this now. You get the point. I'm just ahead here. But we could get in the habit of saying, no, so, thanks, but I don't need that. You know? You know, but as we grow in the Lord, we understand, okay, Lord, I don't need this. But you want to give it to me. What do you want me to do with it? And sometime today, tomorrow, God will lead Ned. He's going to bless somebody or himself by being obedient to the Lord by receiving that. Think of that. Now, the Lord is the head, and we are his body. Now look how obedient. Ryan, when the Lord said, I want you to pray for Bob today. No hesitation. And look at Bob received prayer. I don't know what you prayed with. I know you'd be led by the Spirit to pray with him. Look at the difference the Lord has made in Ryan's life this morning. Because he used him. Isn't it great to be used by the Lord? And isn't it great to be received from the Lord? So folks, that's what's in us. As a follower of Jesus, man, we're all his. We're all his. Now, what can happen is this. I don't know what y'all did last night, okay? I don't want to know. But whatever you did last night that wasn't of the Lord could hinder what you do this morning. Because that guilt would come over you. Oh, man, God, can you use me? Look what I did last night. Okay, well, are you a follower of Jesus? Do you have that guilt from last night? Have you repented from it yet? Nobody's repented yet, I guess. Nobody, like, oh, I didn't do that last night. Yeah. And I have no idea if you did it or not. No one called me last night for bail money, okay? But the thing of it is allowing the Lord to use us. And there's no greater way or time in life than right now to do that. Compassion. Compassion is number one. I know Ned's back here saying, wow, why couldn't the pastor have done this sermon the first of the month? He had more money. No. But I ask you a question. You have your CCW. That's a carrying concealed weapon, okay? And you're walking down the street with your buddy. And you're just talking about you. Just talking. And all of a sudden, boom! A shot rings out. And your friend falls down. It's been shot. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? There's no wrong answers. Okay, that's good. A lot of people ask them that, and they say, well, I'll shoot the guy back. I'll run him down. Wouldn't you? But the first thing you do is show compassion, and you check on your friend. Amen. That's an important thing to do, because you can run down the street, get the guy, arrest him, you can do anything, and your buddy back there could be bleeding to death. Pray for him first. flip around this way. You're going down the street. 2 o'clock. Well, you got off work. You worked at Clouds. You worked at Bob Clark at Clouds, okay? Got off work. You headed to Lawson to go to the store open in the middle of the night, okay? You're going to get a sub sandwich. But you're driving past Downtown Tavern, okay? And you look, and man, there's a cop coming out of the bar, plain clothes, drunk and all get out, headed to his car. Gonna get in the car and drive away. Now, what would you think of that cop? Bad cop, yeah. I mean, there are, yeah. I mean, wouldn't you just be like, oh, man. Wouldn't it frustrate you to see that take place? Wouldn't you really? And I hope they get him arrested. I mean, the same cop arrested me 3 weeks ago. There he is out 2 o'clock in the morning, drunk, coming out of the bar, getting in his car. Well, I'm telling you what, that's just terrible. Oh, I better hope he gets arrested. Right? I mean, kind of something like that, right? Amen. Amen. But a heart compassion should be this. So we got to change our thought process, okay? Wow, I know that guy. He's been a police officer 20 years. He's drunk, coming out of the bar. What is going on in his life? What is taking place for him to do? Man, he better not drive. See, our response should be, hey, come here a second. Hey, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. But buddy, you have one too many. Come on, let me give you a ride home. And you might say, well, a cop never gave that to me. I have plenty of time. If I could get to you before you got to your car, my job is to keep the highway safe. And I'd rather take you home drunk or even take you to jail for public intox than have you, because you know what? Whether it's Fernando getting drunk behind the wheel or Starkey Lawrence the cop getting behind the wheel drunk, the wages of our sin is going to be the same. Jail time or an accident, it could kill us. So the compassion should be there. But a lot of times the first thing is people, yeah, get him. I'll tell you what. Myself, I had a speeding ticket back in 1976. I never got even with them cops yet. But if we don't stay in the war, if we don't stay on top of things, our first thing is going to be vengeance, getting back, getting even. And, you know, maybe it could be a possibility that guy does it all the time. I don't know. But what the Lord wants us to do is have that compassion and look toward what's causing a person to do that. Someone always grouch at you? Do you ever go to a certain store and the same clerk is always Yeah. Look at the perfect opportunity for us. Hey, how you doing today? I'm fine. Oh, something wrong? Let the Spirit within you lead. Because remember, He's the head. You're His hands and His feet. He's going to use your vocal cords, your eyes, and your ears. But all belongs to Him. Lord, what do you want to do today? And it seems like a lot of times these opportunities will come to you when you're in the biggest hurry. Amen? You got a hay cut, you're trying to get it put in. You run down the store to get something. And there's somebody there that needs to be ministered to, help with. I guarantee you, if you stop and help somebody in the name of the Lord, He's going to put an umbrella over that field for a little while. You know what I'm saying? But that's what He wants us to. He wants us to be that light in the darkness, you know, and to listen to Him and realize everything that we have, it belongs to Him. But last week, we went through the list of scriptures, if you all remember, God's view on life and baby. Amen? Awesome. And I just thank the Lord. This past week, twice I had encounters with folks. I got to share some of the scriptures with them and give them food for thought. That's what He wants us to do. Amen? And let the Word of God change these things. And maybe it might have changed some of our own outlooks on these things. But knowing the Word of God and following it the way He wants us to do. And sometimes, myself as a pastor, yourself as a brother or sister in the Lord, we find ourselves more like being a cheerleader, right? Trying to encourage one another on. Do you ever see someone having a tough time and you get in there and try to boost them? Well, if you turn to Hebrew 10, verse 23, I'll show you a couple of things here. This is what he wants us to do, you know? Yeah, chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 23. To encourage each other, not to put them down. You see a brother or sister doing something that, man, that's not right. What's going on on there? They used to be, man, they're on fire all the time. Look how cool they are. Well, he says in Hebrews 10, verse 23-25, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let's not consider how to degrade one another and make it feel terrible, but to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Wow, can we do that? I mean, we want to do that, don't we? Look at a situation. Now, Lord, what can I do? How can I reach out to this person in love, my brother and my sister who's fallen? And how can I stimulate them? Hey, get back on your feet again. Let's follow the Master. Sure, our hearts can break when people fall down or they fall away. But, okay, God, I'm not sure what happened in their life. But what can I do? What can I say? Because the Lord already knows, right? Isn't God everywhere? He already sees what's going on in your life. He knows what you need. And so as He brings someone to our attention, He brings Vicky to my attention, oh Lord, man, what is it? What can I do for Vicky, Father? And I pray and seek the Lord. He'll show me what it is. And then out of love for Him and love for my sister in Christ, to reach out and help, not to degrade. You know, we get a habit of saying, yeah, I knew they couldn't stick with it. Every time they get in trouble, they come to church. And as soon as they get out of church, you don't see them anymore. Once they get out of jail, the charges drop. Okay. Anybody else ever do that? I think we all have, right? Yes. Amen. You know, just it reminds me, I don't know why it comes to my mind, but working midnight shift on patrol. And if you have a drunk guy coming down the road at you, okay, and you see the headlights, they're driving perfectly straight, you know what I'm saying? And the minute they get past the police car, they relax. I've located more drunk drivers in my rearview mirror than coming towards me. Well, it's kind of like us right here in church gathered together. We can all be walking the straight and narrow, right? It's easy to do that when we're in church because there's temptations here and everything else going on, you know. But the minute we get outside, that's when we start curving. And that's where we see one another. We see the real us out there, you know. I mean, we love the Lord. Amen? And we all want to be perfect, okay? And we all have problems from time to time. But what happens to us is that we get ashamed, we're afraid to admit we got problems. Amen? Don't we? We do that? Yeah. Now, isn't that the worst thing to do? To go to the doctor's office, not feeling good. Hey, Stark, how you feeling, Mom? Hey, I'm feeling good, Doc. You know? I have no complaints. Oh, really? Yeah, well, I'll see you in 6 months. And I walk out with every ailment I walked in there with. Why? Because I don't want him to start poking around on me, you know? Wasn't that what the doctor's supposed to do, poke? You know? If you come out of the doctor's office feeling good, yeah, the right doctor. You know what I'm saying? But you want him to examine you, you know? Or you want to say, Doc, I ain't sure what's going on here, but it's personal in the doctor's office, right? I mean, you don't invite everybody out in the waiting room. Hey, guys, come on in. Get my exam. No. It's a personal thing. I'm sorry. I left half the church up here. It's a personal thing. But you bring it forward. Let him examine you. You know, most time you go in there and you tell him what's going on. Oh, it's simple. Hard time breathing, Storky? Yep. Are you fat? Okay. Hey, thank you. He gives me a choice. Lose weight, you know, quit complaining, one of the two. But not be afraid to bring it out. And that's where we have a body of Christ here. You know, to have that prayer partner, have your pastor, your prayer team will pray with you. There's nothing can be involved in your life that can be so embarrassing that you don't want a prayer partner. There has to be a prayer partner. It has to be a Christian rooted in the Word of God, not someone who can be on Facebook. Hey, listen, at the church today, Bob Donnelly can't want a prayer. You know what he's got going on in his life? I bet you if I typed that on Facebook, I'd have 20 people say, what? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But someone that you can trust and confide in. That's what he wants us to do, you know? But how can we stimulate one another? Hey, man, I just see you in church today. You doing okay? Yeah, just checking on you, you know? Oh, yeah, doing fine, you know? Or, I got a tough time going on. Don't know. A lot of folks, when you guys aren't here, I know why you're not here. Yeah, John Hagee's on TV. No. Because you got farmers out here, we got people who work, we got activity of grandchildren, all kinds of things going on. Amen? And we're out there to witness to people. Christ is the number one thing in our life. But we have things that we do, and sometimes it falls on Sunday. Amen? Yeah, it does that, yeah. I mean, I've never tried it before, milking cow. Hey, cows can't milk this morning. Don't go to church, okay? You go to the parlor, you start milking, and you just start talking about the Lord to them, you know. I prayed over cows and stuff in the parlor all the time, you know. Some of them, they wouldn't come back in again because they kicked me pretty hard, you know. But it's being honest with one another, you know. And try, how can I help you today? Sometimes God will bring somebody to your attention. I'm not sure you walk up to him. Hey, Debbie, I'm not sure what's going on, but the Lord just laid down. I haven't looked at you, so I don't know nothing, okay? But you lay in my heart. How can I pray for you today? Okay? You ever have that happen to you? Someone walk up to you, I just want to pray with you today? You know, I've had it, and I always make sure that they're of the way. They follow Jesus, you know. I don't want any stranger coming off the street and say, hey, I just walking down the street, I want to pray for you. Well, I appreciate that, but not now. I don't know who they are. You don't quickly let people lay hands on you. Make sure that they're not bringing one in. And talking about that, a couple of years ago, we had a member of the Wicca coming in here. She's a witch. Came here for several services and stuff. And she stopped in yesterday or Friday to see me to let me know she got born again. She gave her life to Jesus. And she's gone to church. In fact, she talks to people on the street, and she passed out flyers when I was talking to her. So I just give God the glory for it, you know. The truth has to go out and let the Word of God take it from there, and that's been a couple of years ago. And so I'll tell you what, God is awesome. Amen? Amen. And in Hebrews 10:25, the next verse says, now let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. And that's a sticker right there, because it's hard to get people back in the church. Amen? I mean, they fell in love with the TV set. Now, I love TV. Well, we shut our TV off this week, but I like teaching on TV and stuff. But some have fallen into the courses that they're able to go to a body assembly, but they don't because they like the atmosphere or the easiness of jumping from bed in front of the TV and drinking your coffee. And if that's all you got, you can't get nowhere. I'm not speaking against it, but Bible, this is the word here. Says, do not forsake the assemblies of ourselves. You know, I heard last week somebody told me they took the day off. Well, I was going to come to church today. Somebody decided to take the day off. We don't get the point because it's not always about ourselves. It's about one another, you know. And I had a brother back here, Chuck. I'll pick on Chuck a minute. I've been in trouble with my lawnmowers, you know, and I'm talking to Chuck. And Chuck, he said, well, you get the high test gas over at Hans at 90 octane with none of that ethanol in it and put it in there. I did that and let it run for an hour. So, well, if Chuck just wants to take the day off, I won't go to church today. I'm just going to stay home. For no reason. I wouldn't have known that. And I would probably took my fence post power and destroyed the lawnmower I paid $300 for, you know, because I had enough with it, you know. But putting that stuff in there and had it running, it started running again, but still going, puh, 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 puh. I walked out the basement door, ready to give up after an hour of it, you know, but it was running. Wasn't it, Carol? Better than it was. And blah, blah, blah. I walked out there and get ready to walk toward you, and the Lord just took my eyes right to the carburetor. I'm not a mechanic. He says, tap on that thing. So I got a wooden screwdriver, beep, 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 and it took off. So high test gas and the stuff put in it, got it cleaned up, it was still stuck, and that, wow. So it might seem small, insignificant to you guys, but to me it meant a lot, because I had dropped by $800 my mowers in 3 weeks, and I was done. And so, and you saved me, Chuck, from having to repent, you know, because I might have slipped backwards and stuff. But see, just something like that, you know, sometimes we think, well, it's, you know, be in church because we're going to raise the dead and stuff. And, yeah, we can do that. But it can be anything that God can use you. You know, your past experience that you encourage me, hey, I've been there before, and just how things turn out, just keep your faith. I know we all can struggle. Just stuff like that. But stop, and you don't stop the assembling of oneself. And that's the way it is across the nation. Most all the churches that you hear that a lot of them are having a hard, you know, not having a hard time. I mean, we're financially, I mean, we had money come in the other day. Yeah, yeah. My wife brought it in. No. We're, you know, even during the pandemic, we stayed afloat. You know, we had people not come to church. We shut down for 3 weeks, and people still sent their tithing because the tithe belongs to God. And but it's not the something to encourage one another. See, if I'm standing here right now, and you listen to me, watch me on TV, you wouldn't see the holes in my shoes, would you? You wouldn't know that I need a pair of shoes. Amen. Well, I wouldn't see that. Your tire is out there flat in the on Main Street that you need help. See what we... It just encourage one another. But it just seems like... he says, don't forsake the assembly once we see the time drawing near. You know, how much should we encourage one another in the conversations? You know, we saw, we talked about earlier, I can't remember last week or the middle of the week, about the 4 million barrels of oil that Mr. Biden gave to China, okay? Sold to China and other nations. I mean, our reserve, they sold it. Which, heads up, there's going to be a fuel shortage coming this fall, right? So if you can get your tanks full today, go right ahead. Diesel fuel and fuel is the same thing just about, so I'm waiting for Chuck to go on vacation, so I know where I get mine at and stuff. But and the food, I mean, all this stuff, again, not to panic people, but the drought is getting worse and worse and worse, and they want to outlaw the production of cattle. They want to go to this fake meat, and I'll tell you, a couple of weeks ago we tried fake tuna. It's terrible. It's terrible. I mean, the coons in our backyard wouldn't eat it. I mean, it's just terrible stuff, you know. But all this, I mean, and I believe that God gave us this earth. He gave us everything on it. He had a set time that this earth is going to be in operation till He comes and takes the church home. We have new heaven and new earth. So nothing's going to run out. God will not abandon His children. Amen? He won't. He won't. The thief will come and steal, kill, and destroy trying to stop it. But God will not abandon His children. But then verse 26, a sign, a warning for us. But if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. And folks, that's running rampant in the church. I'm not talking about our church. Don't look around at each other. But in the so-called body of Christ, it's one thing not to know the Master yet in sin, willfully sin, being sin. I mean, just not repentant. But when we come to knowledge of our sin and what Jesus has done for us, what we just shared this minute ago, the sacrifice He made for us, if that doesn't make you love the Lord, if that doesn't make you want, hey God, what can I do for you? Oh man, it's not about me. You rescued me from my sins. How can I serve you? Number one, you know, don't be in sin. Number two, don't cause other people to sin. But man, to willfully continue on in sin, he said, man, there's no other sacrifice to be made. Either we repent from that and turn, I mean, not just word, but we turn to Him, get rid of what's causing us to sin, and be His hands and feet, His voice, A lot of people are just fooling themselves. You know, and I know we think, well, I haven't committed murder, that kind of stuff. Well, you got to realize that Satan is a deceiver, right? And he'll convince you to go against the Word of God. He'll teach you, or if you listen to him, that the Word has watered down. That times are different now. It's okay to be a thief. But he'll convince you. It's okay. You can steal from your government. You can steal from the Lord. What's that? Yeah, the government owes it to us, yeah. I know I'm a little bit different than a lot of people because I don't mind paying taxes. I don't, but I do mind paying so much taxes. I want paved roads. I want a plow going through my place in the wintertime. But man, I want my taxes to be used wisely. And I won't go down that road. It can be a rougher, I'll tell you what. It's just, yeah. I believe that in the government's pocket is your money. It's your money. Our government has no money. Now, doesn't it frustrate you when you see how they spend some of it? I mean, one time they spent millions of dollars to see how, what were the mosquitoes, how they breed? Who cares? But when we look at it for a moment, how ridiculous it is, that's terrible. But at the same time, look back in your pocket. Well, Ned's got my money. It's your money now. It was the Lord's. But let's do the same thing with what you have. With your breath that you have, the day that you have, the money you have, that belongs to God. Now, is God up there in heaven said, man, look what he's doing with that money. That's ridiculous. I mean, Starkey's got a pound of hamburger in the refrigerator, and that's baloney in there. And I see him in the drive-thru at Wendy's, you know? Sometimes I don't feel like cooking. Amen. Amen. I'm just saying, from God's point of view, saying, well, look what you're doing there, you know. But it's good as we look at other things, always look back to ourselves. You know, Lord, how do you want me to spend this money you gave me? You know? If I know my cousin Bonnie back here, she's already got Dad driving her through the drive-thru somewhere for dinner because, yeah. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, we want to realize this. And I'll read it to you here, but it's a fall man. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And there he is questioning her. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a loin covering. What she should have done when Satan says, well, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden? And he says, you shall not. And the devil says, you surely won't die. For God, right then, when he says in verse 4, you surely will not die, that woman says, get out! You're not coming in this garden where God created it, put us in here. If you're not to eat from it, you're speaking contrary to the Word of God. Get out of here. And Adam should have a club to run that serpent out of there. Right then, not even think about it. Amen? So, and that will help us a lot When we start to get deceived, people start twisting things around, Satan starts trying to convince you that the things that's going on today is okay when the Word of God says not to. Hey, it's okay. I don't want to hear it. Well, I don't see. Listen. You might not see nothing wrong with it. That's not between you and God. But you ain't bringing that into here. That's not taking place in this assembly. Or you're not bringing it into my house. Or I'm not bringing that thought into my ears. Amen. We're in charge. This is God's temple. Your temple. Your body is His temple. You decide what's coming in, what's going out. You know, I've had people come in, not here. My days are working. I may be here, I'm not sure. And they come in and say, listen, I let my friend move into my house last month. I told him to come in for a couple days. He needed a place to stay for a couple days. It's been a month. I want him out of here. I want him out. That's okay. Go to the courts.
What?
Yeah. You have to get him evicted. What? You have to get him evicted. That's his legal residence now. You got to be kidding me. No. No, a couple of days is fine, but the minute you allow him to stay over them 2 days, he'd become residency of the house. You have to go file paperwork, get eviction notice, go to the courts, he can challenge it. It might be 3 or 4 months before you get him out of there. Well, I never heard such a thing. Well, you should have checked into it. Amen? I mean, that happens all the time. Believe me, my wife's trying to evict me for years. She can't. I've been there for a while, you know? But to check into it, to know ahead of time. You know, maybe that guy said, well, I had no idea I was trying to be a nice guy. Well, I'm glad you're trying to be a nice guy, but it really came back to you. But for us, to know the ways of the Lord, know His Word, and we invite that into our life, man, we already know the outcome, don't we? That's why He gives us, that's why we want to study the Word. You might find things that you've been doing that's contrary to the Word of God. You had no idea. But when the Word of God shows you that, oh, I got to change. You see, and Satan hasn't changed any. You know, if it wasn't Eve's fault, and we've talked about that before. It was Adam's fault. He was put in charge of the garden, right? I would imagine every day I would say, hey, I don't know what we're going to do today. You got to do the washing? Okay, remember, don't eat from that tree. Don't. In fact, I don't know. I might even try to cut the tree down. I'm not sure. I mean, that's a whole different story there, but remind each other, you know. That's one thing great about me and my wife does. We pray together in the mornings and we have our salutations. Decorations, thank you. What's salutations? Never mind. That reminds us who we are and what we're here for, you know. And we open that door up and go out into the world. We go really encouraged by the Word of God. But remember, God hasn't changed any. He's still the same. His Word's still the same. His love is still the same. His Word is given to us to help us to follow the teaching of His Word. See, we're not saved because of the law. Amen? I'm not saved today because I got a checklist and every day, oh, I don't want to do this today. I'm saved because of what Christ did for me. He died for my sins. I received Him as my Savior. Lord, I've been born again. My sins have been removed. And you can't work for your salvation, but folks, if we can continue to live in our sin, continue to do our sin, then this is a heart issue. Once saved, always saved isn't true. I mean, if you float down the river, help me, and I pulled you out. Say, listen, get away from that bank. Move out about 10 feet from the bank, you're going to fall back in there again. It's muddy. All right, thank you. Woo-wee. And walking down along the bank, oh, man, this is cool. Get back. Hey, somebody said, hey, get back from the bank. No. Starkey pulled me out 2 miles back up. I'm safe now. Boom. Fall back in the water. Are you safe? No. If not rescued out, the same thing's going to happen. Could happen to you. Amen. But Satan's, his big lie out there, his deception to people, say, listen, you know, Once saved, you'll always be saved. Don't worry about it. That's legalism, saying you can't do this, can't do that. Our freedom we have in Christ should never be used to sin. But if we do sin, if we do slip up, if we do mess up, we are covered by His blood. But we get to the point and say, hey, I don't care what the Bible says. Well, He says it right here even. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and this is for us, this is for you to use, to share for other people, always trying to teach us. Because you're called more than just to love the Lord. Well, I don't say not just love the Lord. You love the Lord, but you are His hands, His feet, the opportunity to share. He says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, surely you must know that people who practice evil cannot possess God's kingdom realm. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. I love this part of the Passion. But those who practice evil cannot possess God's kingdom realm. Stop being deceived. People who continue to engage in sexual immoralities, adultery, sexual perversion, homosexuality, fraud, greed, drunkenness, verbal abuse, or extortion, these will not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, those who practice these things. But then Paul goes ahead and reminds us, it's true that some of you once lived in those lifestyles. Anybody living in lifestyles somewhere in there? All right, we got 29 liars. We got one person confessing here. So, okay. But now you have been, just kidding, you're not liars. But now you have been purified from sin, made holy, and given a perfect standing before God. All because of the power of the name of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and through our union with the Spirit of our God. So it shows that as Paul is speaking, he's saying, now listen, this is just a list. This isn't a checklist. If you're looking at it and say, oh man, woo, my sin's not there. Yes. This is just showing you that those who practice evil is things contrary to God. To practice things, you get better. And again, lots of practices are taking place under the covering of grace in the churches. And it's wrong. Satan has deceived them. And we never ever be too afraid to stand up for what the Word of God says. And God's Word is true. God is not politically correct. We cannot be politically correct and be a follower of Jesus, because we've been called to share the truth. In order to share the truth, you've got to know the truth, and we've got to shine light. And that's the trouble of some of our nation today, is that a lot of folks, the younger folks, they don't know the truth. I mean, we were watching a documentary yesterday. We have recordings now. We're talking about World War II being taught in some of the schools. And Hitler isn't mentioned. The Holocaust. They didn't mention in there that when we dropped the bomb, the big bomb, you remember that? They don't have it in there that millions and millions of pamphlets had been dropped for several weeks before the bomb. Saying, listen, surrender. We have a bomb that's like 2,000 times greater than the bombs in the B-52s. I think it is, right? Yeah. But we don't want to do it. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Did everything we could to keep the death population down. They had nothing, wasn't coming against the civilian population, but the military. But you don't find that in the textbook. Is how greedy Americans was, and how it's just terrible how they rewrote the history books. And now some of them are coming back around just a little bit. But they're not talking. They don't talk about Sherman. And what's, communism, all that stuff. I mean, it's history. Good or bad, we need to know the history. Because history repeats itself. But then, that's why people are coming out of school saying, man, listen, they owe me something. This Government owes me. Look how bad they are. And it's being twisted around in our schools because the schools are being controlled by your tax dollars, which are given to the federal government, who's being controlled by socialism and communism, in order to twist the mind to defeat this great nation that we live in. In Galatians chapter 5, I'll close with this one here. In Galatians 5, we see it says, the cravings of the self-life are obvious. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. The cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God. And that can be anything that you're chasing after. It can be recreation. It could be just manipulating others, twisting people, just trying to use people. I know quite a few people are really good at that. That they know just what to say around people or certain people. How to lower their lower lip. I need this. And use people. Use their good hearts. Hatred of those who get in your way. Senseless arguments. You know somebody just always want to argue with you? Other than your spouse. Okay. Resentment when others are favored. Oh, man. I mean, if somebody's sitting here today saying, they got that money. I should have got that money. Well, if he should have prayed to the Lord because he told me to give it to Ned. So. Temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself. You know, we have an awesome church here. I mean, you guys think about people all the time, helping one another. You guys do things under the... if I say under the table, I don't mean illegal. I mean you do it when no one else knows that you did it. What is it? In secret. Thank you. Okay, that sounds a lot better under the table. Okay. Or being in love with your own opinions. Being envious of the blessing of others. Murder. Uncontrolled addictions. That's why the Bible says do not be addicted to anything except for Jesus. Amen? So you find yourself getting addicted to stuff, chocolate, shopping, anything that just you got to do to get it under control. Okay, the Lord will set you free from it. Nothing wrong with shopping, nothing wrong with chocolate. But if it starts controlling you, smoking be another one if it controls you, drinking be another one, eating. If you can't leave town today, every day you got to go through Kentucky Fried Chicken, you might want to, God, that addiction I have, set me free from it. And I think one of the good reasons not to be controlled by addictions is that when things get really tough and you can't find that stuff, you can't find that chocolate that you want, Or if you're addicted to Andy Griffith Show all the time. Coffee is another one. If you're addicted to coffee. Well, thank God I'm down to 2 cups in the morning now. I used to drink 4 or 5 of them. I cut it down to 2 cups. I just got bigger cups, but I'm down to 2 cups, okay? But not being controlled by anything, that way you have to go through withdrawals before you get out there and do what God wants us to do. Wild parties, okay? Mm-hmm. Oh, you've never been to Dresden? Oh, never mind, okay. And all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom of God realm? And we'll stop there for the day, but that... those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, using freedom, say, listen. Hey, come on, Charlie. We're going to do this. Now, I know the Bible says not to. But, hey, don't. I'm your pastor. We won't do it. No. Let's go ahead and do it. We shouldn't be doing this. I know that. But, God will forgive us. And we'll ask for forgiveness. He said, don't use your freedom for that, is what he's saying. He's not saying that if you sin today, that you got to start over. Understand? Amen. I stress that all the time. You got a new spirit living in a carnal body. You're going to sin. But when you do, his blood has got you covered. You repent from it and you go on in life. But when we get to the point where we say, I know I shouldn't do this. It's kind of like you ever have an argument with your spouse. I know I shouldn't say this, but I just can't keep my mouth shut. You know what I'm saying? And then you get the repercussion of it, okay? And you know you shouldn't have done it. Well, it's the same way that the Holy Spirit within us will give us wisdom and guidance. We need to yield to that because we're His hands, His feet, and we want to love Him. No one can force you to love Jesus. Yeah, is it something you got to manage? Just wow, like nobody can force my wife to love me. She has to love me or not love me. You know, and I shared Friday night. You know, we got married. I had long hair, bell bottoms. I got a Camaro, good looking man, money. So she married me for my good looks, my money, my car. So when I lose my car, my good looks, when I lost my good looks, and my bell bottoms, I lose my wife. But see, she didn't do that. She fell in love with what was inside of me. And when she fell in love with what was inside of me, it's but man, how can I help Starkey succeed? Isn't that cool? That's that with his friend's benefits, okay? But how can I help him succeed what he wants to do in life? And my heart be the same way. And that's with the master. Okay. He gives all of these blessings, right? But what his heart. You look at Jesus' heart. For us. Oh man. Jesus, what can I do for you? How can I further your kingdom? I love you so much. And when our mindset is that way, whoo. Man, it brings a peace inside of you. You can rejoice when other people are blessed. You can rejoice when other people get the advancement because you know the Master's got you exactly where He wants you. And He'll give you your advancement. He'll change His thing on that. Wow. The freedom we have. Freedom from sin. That's awesome. That's awesome. We'll pick up next week on the lighter side of things. Amen? Amen. Any questions, comments from this morning? There's no dumb questions or comments or nothing. But, there's no way to answer a question. Buddy, we started at 10 o'clock. That's okay. Okay. Again, we have a few in need of prayer today. If you want someone to agree with you in the Word of God, I'll pray the worship team down here to pray with you, to agree with you in the Word. And we have lunch afterwards here. And we'll be back here again Wednesday night. At 6 o'clock to study the Word of God. And again, Friday and Sunday, and then a week from Monday, we'll be gathered here at 6 o'clock. We're going to show 2,000 meals. If you want to come and watch it, you're welcome to. If you don't, I mean, that's fine. But I think it's interesting to see how that took place. So. Well, may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He continue to turn His face toward you and give you peace. And may that peace go with you out this door today and down the street and into the entire week. May His blessing fall upon your household, upon your children's children. And we just place that blood of Jesus over our family and ourselves. And God, that all that we do, may we bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is awesome.